around us. We're going to be looking at sites and places. We're going to some of the old places. And I've got something absolutely fantastic to tell you. Many of you that have been to the website, thousands and thousands of you, by the way, welcome. If you are from, satellite listeners, internet listeners, if you are listening by archives later on, and maybe in some providential way you're listening because somebody has given to you the information, sent you a CD, they wanted you to hear. Now, I would say take that as providential because we pray, because in the context of this 1 hour, we trust that even this 1 hour, specifically on Friday night and for the entire weekend, we're going to encourage you to come back Saturday and Sunday to the main site, shatterthedarkness.net, so that we will have a rebroadcast of Tuesday night and Wednesday night, and also special messages for Saturday and Sunday, because this weekend is the focus of all of what we've been praying about and seeking God about for the last number of days. That involves extraordinary exposure of the this underground. Extraordinary exposure of the underground. This would be extraordinary rescue of victims and protection of those who are targeted as victims. This would also involve a exposure and a dealing with perpetrators. Could be that uncontested evidence would be given. Could be that victims that are listening right now, you know where the info is. You know what to do. And so the prayers have gone out, and I've noticed that many of you coming to Facebook or emailing me quickly have been saying that that's what you're going to do. All around, you're going to be praying fiercely for the massive exposure on an extraordinary level, for the rescue, salvation, healing, and deliverance of victims, and for perpetrators to be dealt with. Now, that has everything to do with what I have in the past called Project Josiah. In this day and in this hour, we'll talk about that at the end of the hour. Right now, what we do want to do is go to again the overview of the week and what we've been doing. And I want to say again, 1 hour, and I believe again, of supernatural providential work. It can be that way. So let's ask all the believers listening live right now just to begin to thrust out your prayers during the entire hour, asking God for the extraordinary exposure of this underbelly, this ritual that goes on, for extraordinary rescue, redemption. Kind of like in the book of Acts, God even sent angels in to Peter out. So that's what I'm talking about. Extraordinary, the hand of God moving all across Canada, Australia, United States. This includes Ireland and Scotland and England and Wales and all of Europe. Deep into Germany, deep into Italy, deep into Estonia and to the Scandinavian countries and deep into Russia. All around the world is there are those listening, those monitoring, those reconning the show, that God would show extraordinary engagement like he did with Saul of Tarsus in one parish. God is not willing that you would perish. Regardless of your background, regardless of your stance, you got to ask yourself the question, where do you stand? If you die tonight, what happens to you for eternity? So as we come to a partial conclusion of the 2 weeks, satanic rituals, powers that can affect you and will affect the whole world. Now, when I put that up there, I don't put it up there as a catchphrase. Powers that can affect you. Whether somebody in your area is doing rituals, somebody in your family that has opened up the doors. Again, it could be small and minor rituals, or it could be the largest and broadest and the most heinous of rituals. When we go over the biblical reality, the cultural reality, the victim reality, the literature reality, the criminal reality, listen, I think that we are going to help paint the picture that brings out this disgusting, detestable, ugly, dark side, not only in the human race, but brings inseparable attachment to the reality of Satan and demons and what they're all about. And not everybody wants to do that. Not everybody wants to hear this. But one thing that it does in my life, it is showing me the reality that is out there, that there is a supernatural secret power of lawlessness, and that Satan does blind minds so that they cannot see. There is an agenda in the world that leads to a future. And I mentioned this yesterday heavily on the Thursday night show. A future satanic ritual that is absolutely astounding, that will be on a global scale, a planetary scale, that will bring about the guidance, the supernatural guidance and influence, and draw humanity to the last and final day of fallen human history, Armageddon. That's connected to this kind of sending of demons, targeting in this spiritual battle and warfare, and showing the incredible influence. So if we go to the future, Revelation 16 and 17 and 18 and then chapter 19, there is no end of human history. There is no Armageddon without the supernatural release in ritualistic format of demonic presence that brings incredible supernatural influence, drawing the presidents and kings, the military leaders from around the world to one singular place. The great day of God Almighty, as it's called, or Armageddon. To the backdrop of all of this is the weaponization of demonic powers. And again, I bring the warning to DARPA, to the NSA, to the CIA, the DIA, and on and on and on, and around the world, and to the Russians, to the old Psy warriors, and to the deep Satanism that has been acknowledged publicly, that has sought to infiltrate Russian military and Russian law enforcement. Interesting that around the world, what has been seen here in the United States is clearly evident there. So when we say the powers that can affect you, yes, and will affect the whole world without question. What you, your city, your church don't know can and does harm you. So to the pastors and to the leaders of local churches, to the believers that go and enjoy and realize that you're there for the joy of the Lord, the power of God, the might of God, your relationship with Christ, and the embrace in worship, in fellowship. Well, none of that is lost. As a matter of fact, in realizing the spiritual battle, I think that it's even heightened our reliance upon God, our embrace of the living Christ. He came to build a church that the gates of hell would not prevail against. That has everything to do with the initiation of the church, the inception of the church, the development of the church, all the way to the end, and the battles that we go through. By the way, as God has said, your struggle is not against flesh and blood. Let me say again a special welcome, special prayer of the Spirit of God's fierce emboldening of life, granting you greater and greater empowerment and boldness, and giving you a heart that where you're not afraid to see what's really there, see what's really operative. See, if people do not look at what occurs to babies inside the womb and in partial birth abortion, if you don't look at it and you don't see it and you don't know about it, it's very hard to even begin to grasp the horrific, detestable, painful destruction of human lives. If you don't look at them, let me give again a minimum. Worldwide, 40 million victims. Now, to the victims that listen right now live, to the victims that listen in silence and fear even trying to contact us, to the victims that have contacted and called and I just received an email from a dear one that is probably listening right now, Victoria, British Columbia, and all concerned about ritual dates and their own life. And may God give to you strength, encouragement. May God himself bring into your life his love for you, his identity, I mean, as far as in Christ and your ability to walk with God and God's purpose for you regardless. It's kind of like what victims, please listen a moment. It's kind of like Joseph in the Old Testament. It'd be a great study. Joseph was battered and rejected and left alone and sold away and given away and mistreated and betrayed and, I mean, terribly betrayed. And so much occurred to his life. But as he clung to God, in the end, his life had a magnitude of influence and impact in the world. His life, as he talks about how there are those that intended all that they have done for evil, but in the midst of it, God intended to do good and to bring about good. And let me tell you something, there's no one greater, no one more powerful that has the ability to bring out good in the midst of all the destruction. I know for victims that you look at and you go over again and again and again the things that have occurred. I know that it's damaging, that it's a life, a river of tears, that some personalities that listen, that don't even want to tell the story, protectors and guardians on the inside. On the one hand, they fear the punishment and the torment and torture of the handlers and the group, and the coven, if you tell. On the other hand, there's those that want to scream out, want someone to love them and help them. And so I pray for an extraordinary miracle for you today. I pray for an extraordinary miracle that Jesus Christ, not limited in time and space, not limited in any possible way, that he would stretch out his hand into your life, that he would visit you to bring about that healing and deliverance. And may I say to all the counselors and all those that work with victims, we need to pray for God to bring about greater, broader, extraordinary, miraculous work for all the victims. And for all of what they've been through, and for all of what they've been transmuted to be, may God bring his transformation. May God in Christ demonstrate the power that raised Christ from the dead, the power that gave blind eyes sight, the power that touched lame legs and made them walk, is the power of God that can touch you body and soul and mind and emotion and the history of your life. May God bring new history, redemptive history into your life by the authority and the power of the living Christ. So to the one that listens out of Texas, you've never been forgotten. You've been prayed for again and again. For the one down in Lisbon, you've not been forgotten. And we're praying for you again and again. And around the world today, there'll be many that listen to this broadcast, both live right now and by archives, many believers that will feel the Spirit of God call them into the fray, into the, into a life of intense and fierce and empowered intercession and spiritual warfare prayer. There'll be those that really seek the Lord in tears and at times agony, for the sake of the deliverance and the healing and the extraordinary miracle that's needed in the life of many millions of victims worldwide. So that's what this is going to be about tonight. This program tonight is all dedicated to the victims, to the first generation. I mean, there's victims in the Holocaust. There's victims in the purge in Russia. There's victims all around the world, in many different ways, in a fallen world, we all understand victimization. We all understand what it is to feel the pain, the heat of radical evil. We know what it is to see a cross where agony, where literally agony was experienced by God in human flesh. We know this. I want to just say to you today that there are words that come from the lyrics of a song. Joan Baez. Now, on my way to Pennsylvania years ago in dealing with the case of Sarah Bain, 14-year-old girl that was abducted, slaughtered in ritualistic format, and left in a field naked, dead, and decaying. Well, they found her body many months later. But in the midst of it, another little girl, Kathy Menendez. The feds have a billboard on Route 62. I kind of gathered, that many of you heard that first broadcast, Route 62. The two pictures of a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old that we've been engaged with to this very day. Last week, we were in that area praying again for the extraordinary exposure of who did and what was done and who else was involved. Because when this kind of radical perpetrator is not dealt with, it's most likely they've done it before, they'll do it again. Amazing to me, as I was traveling, I listened to a song. I actually stopped, went off to a store and purchased the CD so I can listen to the lyrics again and again and again on the way to the county sheriffs to bring evidence concerning the ritualistic killing and murder of Sarah Bain. It's called Play Me Backwards, Joan Baez. Have you heard the words? Amazing. Listen to the words. You don't have to play me backwards. Now I'm quoting. You don't have to play me backwards to get the meaning of my verse. You don't have to die and go to hell to feel the devil's curse. Well, I thought my life was a photograph on the family Christmas card. Kids all dressed in buttons and bows and lined up in the yard. Were the golden days of childhood so lyrical and warm, or did the picture start to fade on the day that I was born? I've seen them light the candles. I've heard them bang the drum. And I've cried, Mama, I'm cold as ice. And I've got no place to run. Let the night begin. There's a pop of skin. And the sudden rush of scarlet. There's a little boy riding on a goat's head. And a little girl playing the harlot. There's a sacrifice in an empty church. Oh, of sweet little baby Rose. And a man in a mask from Mexico is peeling off my clothes. I have seen them light the candles. I've heard them bang the drum. And I've cried, Mama, I'm cold as ice. And I got no place to run. So I'm praying for protection. So I'm paying for protection, smoking out the truth, chasing recollections, nailing down the proof. You don't have to play me backwards to get the meaning of my verse. You don't have to die and go to hell to feel the devil's curse. I'll stand before your altar and tell everything I know. I've come to claim my childhood at the chapel of Baby Rose. I've seen them light the candles. I've heard them bang the drum. I've seen them light the candles. I've heard them bang the drum. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard those lyrics. For the victims, you can read those lyrics. You know exactly what she means. For the ones that have been through it all, you know exactly the depth of the meaning. I listened to one of the other YouTube videos of Joan Baez as she was doing this in a kind of free-flowing, acoustical way, and she tells the audience that someday her story needs to completely come out, that they need to tell everything. The lyrics of the song are lyrics that could be written by, cried out by, 40 million first generation, richly abused. And in all those cases where they are bloodline, chosen ones, satanic, ritually abused, every single case, they can tell you of the pop of skin and the scarlet. They can tell you of the little girl that plays the harlot. They can tell you about the goat's head, the man with the mask. They can tell you about the ritual. They can tell you about the smell of blood and the feeling, felt presence of the demonic as they rise, as they're summoned. They can tell you about the transference of demons. They can tell you about the fear and they have nowhere to run. They can tell you about how their own moms and dads in that bloodline generational Satanism, that Luciferianism, that Illuminist bloodline, where they're brought up, they're literally split apart to be transmuted, to be used in so many ways, to the priestesses, to the runners, to the assassins, to the informants, to the perpetrators, to the splitters and the programmers, to the handlers, to the enforcers and the watchers. May this be an extraordinary. May God bring his power and presence and mercy, an astounding miracle in the midst while you listen, whenever you listen, in the name of Jesus Christ that gave his life at the cross and shed his blood. That's right, a human sacrifice. God giving his life to set us free. God giving his life to bring forgiveness, to bring freedom, to bring release from Satan's legalities, to bring the gift of immortality, to bring his presence and healing and very life into ours. Walpurgis Night, this weekend, human sacrifice and what you can do about it. If you're a new listener again, this is heavy material, and yes, it is vitally needed material. You can't just take what is detestable, ugly, horrific, evil, scary, sweep it under the carpet and just simply say, I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know about it. I just want to feel the joy of the Lord. I just want to feel happy. I just want to focus on God and forget all the rest. And let me say something, that when you do that, you do the opposite of what Nehemiah, check it out, in chapter 4 of Nehemiah does. You can do both. You can have the joy and the power and the might of God. And as a matter of fact, as you look at the blood and guts of evil face to face, how horrific, how detestable. Do you remember the story? Do you remember how I told you again and again and again about Ezekiel chapter 8 and the prophet, the believer, that was willing, as God took him further and further and further into the realms of actual darkness, right into the ritual chamber, right into where they were practicing. God supernaturally led Ezekiel right there during the ritual. They were in there doing it. And God showed him, and he told him, I will show you these detestable things. And then God said again, do you see this? I will show you even more. So I will say this, yes, you will see detestable things. You will hear about detestable things. As a matter of fact, in this message, I will bring up again some of the stuff. The rot gut of evil that enrages me, that brings outrage, that brings my voice. Listen, it leads me to raise my voice to the God of heaven, to the God of redemption, but also the God that is able to invade and even now do something about radical evil. Even now, even this moment. Let me ask you what you're willing to see. Let me ask you what you're willing to hear. Obviously, as you're listening right now, and again, over a radio, over a laptop, over a computer speakers, maybe it's the download on an iPod, I will ask God to embrace you. I will ask God to unleash the spirit of fierce boldness. I think Samson had that. I think at times we see clearly David had that. I think Philip in the book of Acts, chapter 8 had this growing fearlessness that nothing would stop him, nothing would deter him to get the mission of God done. So let me bring you now to April the 29th, a Friday night in this live hour, number 1 or A. It's on the notes, PDF file notes. There's on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, for the new folks listening. There is a breakdown of the 2 weeks. There are PDF file outline notes for you to follow along and write notes down and pray and ask God for all the scripture and insight. There's mini casts that give an overview of the 2 weeks or an overview of this week. And there's other materials there. There's the satanic calendar. You can take a look at it. 5 things, biblical reality number 1. Biblical reality. I mean, you can go back to the Old Testament. Look at Baal. Look at Nebo. Look at Moloch. I mean, simply Ezekiel 8 or 1 Kings 21, 22, 23. Manasseh leading the way, opening every spiritual dark door possible. It's as if he sought to open every single one. And by his leadership, he brought a dark spiritual infection to the entire region, to the entire area, all the way into the temple of God. When nothing is done, dark reality becomes more visible. By doing nothing, by standing silent, by hoping that we can just get out of here, radical evil continues to come close, grow. As a matter of fact, I think by silence, by refusal to hear of the blood and guts of what's really going on, that is the reason why billions around the world feel that darkness and chaos in the air. See, the coming catastrophic chaos that everybody knows is going to strike is all because and is fueled by satanic rituals. If you understand satanic rituals, like thousands and thousands and thousands of small prayer groups all around the world, if you can understand that no advancement to the cause of Satan's agenda can occur without actual manifested dark powers, you've got to understand that rituals become the kind of the fueling stations for the local, regional, national, and global agenda, the Luciferic agenda. Globalism is fueled by satanic rituals. Dark encroachment, dark technologies, dark influence into U.S., European, Russian, English, militaries fueled by dark rituals. Infiltration of hundreds of thousands to the point now of millions in government, military, law enforcement, into the churches all around for the coming. They call it a black awakening, the great chaos it's all about. And it may be kicked off by simultaneous rituals. When I have more verification on that, I'll give it to you. 3 things on the notes today. A, if it's really there, it can be found. B, Project Josiah. I'll give you another one if we have time tonight, specifically a word of hope. If it's really there, then let's take again a look at the biblical reality and do your study and do a topical study. How many times God had to tell Israel not to participate in passing their child through the fire, not to involve their children in child human sacrifice. You've got to remember that when God called Abraham, listen to this carefully now, God calls Abraham to step out and to take his son and offer him in sacrifice. We know the story, Genesis 22 on down. We know the story of Abraham's background, or do we? Do we understand that he lived among a world of human sacrifice, child sacrifice, all the gods and goddesses? That was the norm when gods and goddesses, you know, communicated to families like Manasseh, like a governmental national leader, and led him, convinced him to take his child and sacrifice his child. We can read about the history of it, yes, biblically. Abraham being called by God. Now listen, you got to understand again the beginning of this. Abraham doesn't know Yahweh. He doesn't know Almighty God. He doesn't know the creator of heaven and earth. All he knows is the gods and the goddesses. All he knows is the world of gods and goddesses, and human sacrifice is a part of that world. When God invades Abraham and the calling comes, and eventually in that calling and drawing out of Abraham, God, Yahweh, calls Abraham to bring his child and to sacrifice his child. Now, what is notable in all of this is that Abraham begins to do what all those in pagan history began to do, taking their children, like Manasseh, like others, and passing a child through the fire or offering in human sacrifice, and on and on. That was a known practice. Why would God do this? Why would God call Abraham to bring his son and lead him up and offer him in sacrifice? I mean, it came about to the very point where Abraham had the blade. They're already there. He lifted the knife, getting ready. And it's all similar to the pagan gods and goddesses. It's all similar to the child human sacrifice that had been going on everywhere in a fallen world where the dark side has entrenched itself and developed dark side religion. Abraham is stopped by God. Abraham is stopped by the God of heaven and earth and told him to stop. The entire episode was not just about Abraham's trust or stepping out in faith or beginning to believe the voice that spoke to him, the encounter that he had with God. It involved a trust, but it involved an incredible revelation of God, a powerful impact in dramatic fashion. Could you imagine bringing your son or child up and all of a sudden you're there to sacrifice to this entity that has called you, that is very similar to everything that you know of growing up, but all of a sudden God says, stop it. And God is engaging Abraham to show him this. Listen. That he's not like the pagan finite deities. He's not Baal. He's not Moloch. He's not Nebo. He's not any of these others. That he doesn't require, desire, child, human sacrifice. Quite the opposite. All of the Old Testament demonstrates that God is utterly opposed to the practice. And when the practice is so beyond, I don't want to say human reality, but so broad and wide practiced in cultures that even judgment has to come in to stop it. Part of the judgment of the flood was to stop the radical evil. When judgment finally falls, it's all about where it has gone so broad, so wide, so deep, so heavy that God steps in to stop. Obviously, what nobody else has done. That's the whole issue of the second coming of Christ. To bring finality to the radical evil that is in the future going to grow to a pinnacle of untold proportions never seen in all of human history. What you and I see right now in the field, what you and I experience right now in the field, is nothing in comparison to the ramping up that will come tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. So how powerful in Christ do you want to become? How fearless in Christ do you want to become? How like David in the face of Goliath will you become? How like Esther? How like Deborah? How like Nehemiah? How like Philip? Abraham learned a great lesson that the God of heaven is not like the pagan demon gods and stopped him. Oh yes, there's a type here because God was going to provide. God provided the sacrifice in type of the coming Christ. This was an incredible multi-purpose engagement with Abraham, a multi-revelation of who God is in that day and in that hour, what God is like in that day and that hour, that God does not require child human sacrifice and is opposed to it, and that God would provide what is needed. And the type that is unveiled in that Old Testament experience points to the living Christ, that God would provide the sacrifice in the future, that God would come in human flesh, and that God in human flesh would become the sacrifice. Who put him up on that cross? Who nailed him to the wood? Who beat him and shredded his skin? Who put the thorn of crowns on his head? Who mocked him and laughed? Who took a spear and jammed it up his side? Fallen, sin-filled, radical humanity. And there's no question when you read the accounts of the gospel, the book of Acts, Satan was in the mix bringing or trying to bring destruction. But to the sinless and absolutely righteous Lamb of God, death, the sentence, all that was being done had no legal ground. What was happening in the midst of all of it was God was coming to conquer sin, death, separation from God, Satan's rights. What an exposure. Oh, you can read about the cross. The exposure of the dark side. Read about it, Colossians chapter 2. Read about 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. To this day, and to the dear Russians that have been listening more than ever, we thought we lost you a couple months ago. We're praying and asking and seeking the Lord now in the last number of weeks. Thousands and thousands of downloads of these very programs have come down in Russia, Estonia, the Czech Republic, Romania, Germany, of course, Italy, close to the Vatican, all around. And the reason I mention it is because the Spirit of God, the living Christ, is there. Because the radical evil that I've engaged here in the area that I live is not just a local issue, that it is broad, just like God said in 2 Kings, that innocent blood has been shed from one end of the nation to the other. America, innocent blood has been shed from one side of the nation to the other. Canada, Australia, England, Europe, Germany, Italy, France, Russia, on and on I could go. The underbelly, a secret power of lawlessness. The biblical reality is real, and I think for many believers that are older, we might need to reread the Old Testament to understand that every nation, that every tribe around Israel worshiped the dark side, worshiped the demons, that there was human and child sacrifice on a vast scale, let alone the fact of Nephilim and the transmuting of the human race. The Canaanites. Well, you can read about God and what he spoke through the prophets again and again and again. Let me talk about cultural reality. In the fields of anthropology, paleontology, archaeology, in the history books, where there are those that have and are to this very day digging down deep to see what, well, ancient man was all about. So I watch just yesterday an A&E video I bought, a DVD, a documentary. And it's all about this the archaeologists and anthropologists and so forth, and the historical study. The it's a documentary about the peat bog in among the Danes, where well over 1,000 were bludgeoned and beaten and sacrificed, and they believe pushed off to the gods to appease the gods, the demon gods. I had read earlier and did studies concerning China and the sacrificial bodies that had been found. You can do this with the Druids and the Celts. You can do this literally around the world now. North Africa, they talked about thousands and thousands. Human sacrifice. You can go down to those. Not, I won't even touch the Maya. I've been picking on that area, and we need to. Because what occurred among the Maya has literally been in satanic synchronicity resurrected. A dark resurrection. And the demon gods that engaged the psychic Psy warrior or PK man, Ted Owens. He engaged the temple gods down there among the old temples. Won't touch on them right now. The A&E video primarily focused on the Aztecs. Well, very close. Thousands in human sacrifice. A culture of human sacrifice. I mean, if you were one of the enemies of the Aztec, you wouldn't want to be captured. You wouldn't want to be beat. Pictures that have been shown. You ever see the racks of skulls on racks? I mean, literally like a tie rack, but instead skulls, human skulls. The documentary shows and gives the report of 130,000 skulls where they're fastened to the rack through the temple. Just human skulls. All that came from human sacrifices among the Aztec. 130,000. They didn't list all of them. They had a thing called the Feast of the Flan of Men. And that is where the Aztec warriors go out and as they defeat other warriors and bring them in. Of course, they ritualistically kill them. To the gods, they offer them. I mean, the blood was sacred in the demonic sense. You cannot say sacred in the good sense. You cannot say spiritual in the good sense. They were sacred and spiritual in the darkest of sense. Now, God, in Ezekiel's day, referred to this as something detestable. What the Aztec soldiers, in that ritualistic slaughtering of the others, they would skin the victims. See, I've seen crime scenes where that occurred. We have a dear friend now down in Johannesburg, South Africa. I read the report last Monday. The actual report of the guy and the girl that through Facebook invited a man to meet them in the cemetery. Well, there's where they, in satanic ritualistic, they killed him and then skinned him. They found a man's skinned head in the refrigerator. Among the Aztecs, the warriors in this Feast of the Flange of Men, they would skin them, take off the skin of their heads, their face, and wear them. In other words, put the other man's face atop their face, kind of like Hannibal the Cannibal. And when I listened to the documentary, it is said that they did that to acquire power. They sacrificed, shed the blood of the demon gods, did all that they did, but wore the skin face of the other human being on their face to acquire power. That's a lot that's going on tonight, World Purges Night, May Day, all around this time. It's all about, listen, if perpetrators do listen, you know and I know, it's all about your summoning of powers. Tuesday night, I missed that night because of some issues, and I told you about that. We will rebroadcast that. But it's the five reasons why the powers are drawn. And it's always about acquiring power for self, to transfer to others, for the coven, the group, the tribe, to unleash against the enemies. And then to release into the air to build the power of coming agenda. What in the documentary, Indies list also, in the Shapa Veda, there's descriptions of human sacrifice. See, the earrings he wears of, you know, look, the goddess died her 300 million, they're constantly making more. Gods and the thieves. And you can look into the history of in past the documentaries, present human sacrifice. Now, had invited a friend brought to us, Freya, Jesus Mani. Jesus Gamani was brought here, a powerful believer in Christ, great, engine, and powerful God, through his son, born in each arch. And there stood ten wages, a was red dark, the darks that he shot him dead. In he waited the day, sacrifice. Carpenter, no, said 25 It is said they have drummers. During the drummers plowed my document. Big 7,000 notes in an opening night. Holly Hector reported in Centennial High in Stomptic yet. Right book, he brings of a action. He brings out massive. Well, he literally what he did is he took all the other books and materials, accumulated all the information to give massive evidences of even the CIA, of psychiatrists' involvement in the purposeful creation, trauma-based purposeful creation of subpersonalities, multiple personality disorder, the satanic ritual abuse that occurs with it. Some say 40 million worldwide. First generation. Around 58, 59, 60, 61, 62. Unhealed, undealt with. The subpersonalities in them. Well, they know how to split, how to program, how to demonize, how to train. So their children, sometimes two and three children, are all multiples. All SRA. And those children are around the 40s, late 30s, 40s, 45 even. Second generation. Could be another 40 million. Drop it down to 20 if you want. But they, unhealed, undealt with, unencountered, where nobody believed and nobody wants to deal with it, they have subpersonalities connected to the bloodline covens and everything else. And the continuation of this generational phenomena moves to a third generation. I've dealt with a number of those late teens, early 20s. There's many of them out there right now. Subpersonalities. Oh, the inside knows all that's being done. There might be another 20 or 30 million third generation satanic, richly abused. But now we've engaged the fourth generation. A fourth generation. 6-year-old, 5-year-old, 8-year-old, even 11-year-old. Looking at a little girl, 8 years old, in Kent, Ohio, sitting with a mother and a pastor. And subpersonalities begin to come up and talk to us, tell us their name. Demons are there, but we got to deal with them. They're going to tell us, the subpersonalities are going to tell us of what went on in the daycare center. There's another 4 or 5 victims from that daycare center. Ravenna, Ohio. Victim reality. What are you going to do with the victims? You're going to just tell them all to be quiet, send them away, silence them? See, skeptics that I've met over the years normally are individuals that live in feeble fear, haven't looked at the facts. Point number 4, the literature. Tons, hundreds of volumes. Even in the book that I've written called The Black Awakening, with 664 pages, I have quoted from about 220 other volumes. But I have another 500 volumes, and it continues to grow. Victims who have written about their story. Victims who have told what occurred. Psychiatrists that have written for them. Others who have researched the subject from many different angles. Daniel Ryder's book, Breaking the Circle of Satanic Ritual Abuse. I had no idea that he lived actually where he, all the things that were done to him. See, I met him at the Mind Control Conference in Richmond, Virginia back in the 90s. The Green Bomb speech. Corey Dunhammond. He lived, the victim lived just miles from me. Today I'm sitting at lunch talking to a man whose mother just died last night. His mother died last night. Great woman of God. Took me in when I had nowhere to go. In my early college days, I've got to speak at the funeral on Tuesday. It's going to be tough, but it's going to be incredible because she, Winnie, knew the living Christ. She passes away in the middle of the night. I sit with the son, my friend, who got saved about the same time I did. We're talking about it all. He has a great interest in helping us right now. But in the context of literature, he's studying, he's reading, he's willing to go out. He's willing to check it all out. He tells me all of a sudden of the story of Jeffrey Dahmer and that his mother is going to be buried close to one of the victims. Jeffrey Dahmer, a multiple. Did anybody know that? I saw the inside crime scene photos. He had an altar built out of human thigh bones and a power cone, summoning demons in the midst of it, holding them, built out of human skulls. He lived about 20 minutes from here. First victim was from this area. And now there's a connection to a case in Ravenna that goes back to the Black Flame Nazis and deep generational bloodline Satanism. And then there's the criminal reality. A lot of the criminal cases, for example, we dealt with a case, a little girl is on our website, a little tiny girl named Jackie Cooper. She was ritualistically murdered. The Akron newspaper said that the man that ultimately did it claimed to be a Kralinian, a self-described black pagan. But behind the scenes, we found out multiplicity and the backdrop of all this ritualism. We've been to the cemetery where, again and again, we've heard the stories of Stairway Coven. We have involved ourselves deeply into that case. I've told the story before because before Jackie was ever murdered, I held her. I held her and her twin sister. After many years of nonstop prayer about the rest of those that might have been involved or known, all of a sudden I hear about the living sister and the possibilities of the door being open to me meeting her. Behind it all, there was dedication of both. The ritual power, to acquire favors. Do you really want to do that? Do you really want to do that and lose your soul ever and ever with no opportunity? Project Josiah, you can go read about it, 2 Kings 21, 22, 23. Who he was. Listen, you go back and read about Josiah. I love the concept of Project Josiah because he was willing to do what God wanted done. God looked at the city, said innocent blood has been shed from one side to the other, that judgment was coming, that the people there became worse than the pagan, Satan, sacrificing nations around. Even Manasseh sacrificed his own child to Moloch. Josiah needed the word of God, and he got it. Josiah needed guidance. Huldah the prophetess was there, and the word of God came to him from her. And then he went off doing all that he needed to do to clean house in that day, in that way. And what the interesting thing is, because of Josiah's willingness, because of what he was willing to do, because he was going to risk his life, risk everything, go out, lead others to get on the field and clean house in all these different ways, that a bubble of grace, a window of grace, God withheld judgment to a nation based on those willing to see God's redemptive work that always includes the destruction of radical satanic evil and its presence. I hear the music now, and we're at the end of the hour on a Friday night. I trust Jesus to save, heal, and deliver. If you're lost, come to Christ. Write to us. Let us know about it. Let us help you. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Remember us in fierce and powerful prayer. Hey, remember us in support. We love you. God bless and good night.